right. Thank you, Ben. And it's been good worship service. Appreciate all the good singing. It's been a joy to sing together with you. You can turn in your Bibles to that passage that Ben read not too long ago, Malachi chapter 1, as we take a break from 1 John and focus in on a passage more relevant to Father's Day. You can see I've titled the message, Your Father's Honor. We could say Our Father's Honor. We were recently in one of our pastors' meeting, ECWBF pastors' meetings. We've been going through 1 and 2 Timothy, and we were in this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the first 5 verses, and you see a lot of similarity to our culture today. We read there, it says this, Paul writing to Timothy again, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." Now he's going to give the reason for those perilous times. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." You ever feel like we, on Father's Day, and we think of the command in Ephesians and in the coming from the Old Testament to honor our father and our mother, we feel like we live in a culture of disrespect, a culture of me first, I am number one. Now, this has always been a struggle for mankind. We love ourselves, but the culture is where it's accepted that I am number one, and we think of those descriptions I just read, lovers of themselves, proud, headstrong, haughty. And when you have a me first culture, then that leads to an arrogant demeaning of others while you promote yourself. And then you had words we read like boasters, blasphemers, slanderers, brutal. They have no recognition of the deeds of others. They're unthankful. They're despisers of good. They're traitors. Traitors, not traitors. I'm not good at pronouncing the difference between those two. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. They act only in their own self-interest. They're lovers of money, disobedient to parents, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, without self-control. It's a culture of disrespect and dishonor. And I don't think when you can type in on the internet or in social media without being face-to-face, I think that's made this very easy. And all boundaries, all honor, all respect is dropped, and you just type whatever we feel like typing. It's a very awful description of society, and unfortunately it seems to describe the world we live in. One thing that these must never describe is the children of God. And us as the church, we must be characterized by humility and love towards others. And in the context of Father's Day, as those who honor their parents. And above all, which is what our passage is talking about, above all, honoring God. We look to others as higher than ourselves, and especially God. And we're going to look at a passage today from a long time ago, a couple over maybe 2,400 years ago or so, roughly. We're going to look at a passage where God's people and God's own priests were dishonoring their heavenly Father. They had a similar attitude to some of these things we read. And so I think from this passage, we can take a lesson. We can take some instruction on what it is to honor, and especially to honor our heavenly Father. Well, we start in verse 6, and since Ben already read the whole passage, I'll just read it, the portions we're going through, and so we'll go through it a piece at a time. And we'll start in verse 6. God is talking. He says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master." All right, we recognize that. That makes sense. He makes two statements there, and I've titled it in your outline, "Typical Honor." This is how things generally operate. A son honors his father. That passage I read said that in the last days and perilous times come, that's not going to be the case. That's not going to be normal. But a son honors his father. Their fathers have respect. They have high esteem. They carry a lot of weight in your mind. That's what it means to honor them. You have a high regard for their fathers, all right? And I understand, as I'm going through this, that not everybody, that fathers are sinful. We're talking about when we refer to God the Father, He is the perfect Father. We all fall short of that standard. And some of you may have had fathers that have fallen far short of that standard. But in the typical family, the son honors the father. The father carries a lot of weight in your mind. You have a high regard for him. As I mentioned earlier in Ephesians 6:2, this is commanded. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth, coming from the Ten Commandments, all right? The New Testament quoting the Old Testament. It is a recognition, especially as a child, we recognize our father's authority and position over us, and we talk respectfully, and we obey most of the time. I mean, I know I've used this illustration before, but I remember the time when I used a very foul curse word in reference to my dad, and my little brother Tommy snitched on me. And I remember my dad coming up and asking me, what did you call me? I heard you call me something. What did you call me? And I had to say that word. I'm not going to say it now. It was an awful word. And I had to tell him what I called him. And talk about embarrassing and shame to use, you know, that kind of a word to refer to my father. I did not honor him, but and I would have never said that in his presence. The only way I even said that is because, like I said, my brother snitched and I was faced with my own dishonorable conduct. And our fathers are treated with respect and honor and obedience. This is just the typical way we operate as a society. It's the way God designed the family, all right? Even when we get older and we become adults, you know, we still honor our fathers and appreciate all that they've done in raising us. We respect their opinion, all right? And again, I'm assuming you've had, that assumes you had a godly father, a good father, all right? That's just typically how things work. That's what God's pointing out to his priests here. A son honors his father and a servant his master. All right, a servant honors his master. Recognize who's the authority. When they speak, I listen. Their wish is my command. All right, all my wishes are set aside because my wishes are less important than my master's. You might think of this in terms of your boss or whoever you report to at work. You You have an honor for them. Like they say something has to be done, you do it. And you should do it well. That should be the testimony of, again, of the body of Christ in the workplace. And we have that respect in addressing them and responding to them. These, again, are the typical responses, the typical way we operate in regards to a son and his father and a servant to his master. And so certainly this ought to be true between us and God. God says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name? He's saying, what are you doing? Where is my honor? You honor your fathers. A servant honors his master. Am I not God the Father? Am I not the Father of fathers? And a servant honors their Lord. Am I not the Lord of lords? I am the Lord. And he's asking them, so where is my honor and where is my reverence? And you can see the point there for point number two, ignorant dishonor. They're dishonoring God in this way. He's pointing it out to them, and what's their response? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? What's going on here? Why are you so angry? I don't know. I don't understand. Yeah, if you're married, you've got to have had that kind of room. I had no, what are you saying? You know, I don't understand. And probably get the same response, right? Anyway, that's what they don't even get it. They're acting like they're ignorant of what's going on. He says, where is my honor? And their response in verse 6 is, in what way have we despised your name? Verse 7. He says, you offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? So these priests he's writing to, these men he's writing to, he's saying, where is my honor? And their response is, they don't even see that they're dishonoring the Lord. And this is one thing we should take away, is pay attention to the deceitfulness of sin. We deceive ourselves in talking about those who deny the God just from seeing creation. We call it willful ignorance. We do that. You know, that's easy to do. Willful ignorance. Sin is deceitful. We deceive ourselves. In what way have we despised your name? In what way have we defiled you? It's like, you know, you think at if somebody served you a plate of food and they spit in your food, and then they served it to you, and they're like, I don't really want this. And then they're like, why? What's wrong? That's kind of that's the picture there is right here. You're defiling my food. You're spitting in my food, and then your response is, what's the matter? Eat up, right? I mean, this is good stuff. And this is a challenge to us to evaluate whether we are ignorantly dishonoring those who we should be honoring. And this, for certain, applies to the Father. Do we dishonor God? And as we go through the passage, we'll see more about that. But perhaps we're dishonoring our fathers and mothers. Maybe there's others we should be holding in a position of honor, and we're not. We're acting like we're on the internet and we don't have to give accountability for anything we say. Guess what? There's every word we're going to give an account for. And it doesn't matter whether you type it or say it. And so maybe we're deceiving ourselves too and wondering, well, we're dishonoring. We're acting in a way unbecoming of one of God's children towards others. Well, he gives them some enlightenment. They ask their questions, and the Lord's going to enlighten them. He begins in verse 7. I already read this, but the first part, "You offer defiled food on my altar." All right? You offer defiled food on my altar. And then, again, their question, "In what way have we defiled you?" By saying, "The table of the Lord is contemptible." All right? He says, you're defiling the food on my altar, and you're saying, even though these words might not, right? Their words are going to be okay. They aren't saying out loud, this is contemptible. But he says, that's what you're saying by your actions. You offer defiled food. Verse 8. "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" So they were despising his name, which is the opposite, exact opposite of honor and reverence, not by words, but what they were doing. And incidentally, this is how we deceive ourselves, because we say the right things, but our heart is revealed in our actions. And our actions here, their actions were actions of despising the Lord's name. They were offering when they offered for their sacrifices, they were taking the culls out of their herd, the blind, the lame, the sick. This was showing their contempt for the sacrifice to the Lord. God the Father is beneath me. The best of the flock belongs to me. Lord, I'll give you the cast-offs. I'll give you the leftovers, that which I would throw away, because the best belongs to me. See how they're showing contempt to the Lord? They're saying, hey, I'm way more important than you. The best of the flock's got to stay with me. It was a good test when he told them, take it to your governor. Because God is invisible. You know, I keep mentioning the typing on the internet, right? You don't see who you're typing to, right? We have the invisible God, and so just like on the computer, you think, oh, there's no accountability here. I can say whatever I want. I don't see any reaction. But yet, if they would have been before their governor, he said, yeah, see how that goes if you offer this kind of offering to your governor. See how he responds. And he's being kind of, I think, sarcastic. He's like, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do it face to face. It's kind of a test of your faith. You really, you know, do you really believe I am who I am? That I am the I am? You know, he's talking to them and saying, yeah, you face to face, you wouldn't do this to your governor, yet you do it to me. And who am I? I'm God the Father. Verses 9 through 11, we get another illustration. He says, but now entreat God's favor. You can. I'm going to read it to you in that tone of voice. But now entreat God's favor that he might be gracious to us, right? Think of praying. Father, you know, grant us our needs and bless us. May your face shine down upon me. Think of the prayers. Entreat for God's favor and that he may be gracious. And while this is being done by your own hands, while you're offering this detestable offer, you're giving him your scraps, your leftovers, and then you turn around and say, Lord, be gracious to me. Will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. You think I'm going to be okay with this? Verse 10. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. All right? I think of the example of a school bully, you know, the idea of despising someone, picking on them, telling them how worthless they are, and then you ask them for help on their homework. And then they come back and say, hey, can you help me? I'm failing this class, you know. I know I called you a nerd, and, you know, that's kind of what they're doing when they're beseeching there. And God's response to that is, you know, you're asking for my favor and for my grace while you give me your leftovers, while you spit on the food, and then tell me to bless you. I wish somebody would just shut the doors and keep you away. I wish somebody would shut the doors and not let you in to offer these sacrifices. Think of all the ceremony and offering the sacrifice and their prayers, and you know, this is all you're reading the first, you know, Leviticus and Exodus and all the work and what they wear and all this going into the sacrifice. And he says, I just, you know, it sounds so good, it looks so good, and God says, I just wish you'd go away. Because you're not honoring, you're disregarding. There is no honor in what you're doing. And I think of maybe an application. You know, it doesn't work to entreat God to bless us because of your great unconditional love, while at the same time you're despising and dishonoring him with all your leftovers, right? We'll give him all our leftovers of our time. We'll give him the leftovers of our money. We'll give him the leftovers of our effort. We give him the leftovers, but then we could gather together, right? And we're singing the right words, true words. Oh, how great is our Father. And meanwhile, we're just giving him all our leftovers. And this is not honoring to God. And I'm not accusing you. I'm saying if we do this, this is something we ought to be searching our souls for and saying, Lord, am I like these guys where I'm saying, what? I'm not dishonoring because I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. And because God forbid that we would have this kind of attitude or this kind of treating him and his own people in the church. This is the whole reason we gather, is to honor the Father. And could you, I just couldn't imagine if we're doing this and I'm thinking, you know, the way I'm treating God, and he's just saying, I wish somebody would have kept you away from the building today. That would be better. What an awful thing to think about. And that's where he is with the priests here. He goes on. I'm going to skip verse 11 because we're going to come back to that. Verse 12, But you profane it. He's kind of summarizing again, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. All right? Again, he's just referring back. They're giving him the sacrifice. What they're giving to the Lord is not important. Verse 13, you also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen. There's a new one. Now we're not even giving them our culls. We're just stealing from somebody else because I don't want to give them anything from myself. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. And thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand? Says the Lord. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You see what he saw there back in verse 13? Oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it. Can you imagine that? They're offering a sacrifice to the Lord, and the priests are like, another day, another dollar, you know. Here we are. Let's see if we can get through another day of bleeding out these animals and getting all this stuff all over us and throwing them on the altar, and it takes forever. And what a weariness, you know. And I think of all the times there's been times where I considered the serving the Lord, oh, what a weariness, right? That's different from being weary from serving the Lord. But when you're looking at it, it's like, oh, man. Do you remember as a kid? And I'm just going to say as a kid. I don't want to admit to anything beyond that. As a kid, do you remember going, oh, I got church, Sunday church, you know? And, well, and then you start going, well, once we get through that, when can we get, oh, we got, what are we having for lunch? What am I going to do after church, you know? And so you're, it's, oh, what a weariness. Oh, what a weariness to hang out with the children of God. You know, this, we got to get through this. I'd consider myself more on the introverted side. I can spend time alone, you know, and so there's as a kid, before I mastered this, you know, I'd be like, oh, you know, we got Pastor and Joe wanted to just slip into the sunset. You know, oh, now we're, anyway, you know, this is, I'm saying we do this. You can see how easy this is to do, to say, oh, this is the work of God. Oh, VBS, oh, it's so much work. Oh, man, this is tire. Oh, you know, and we can lose track of, you know, what, these kids, they want to hear the gospel. We're ministering to the kids. We're ministering to the Lord. And it can become a weariness. We can sneer at it in a sense. Boy, we need to pay attention to this. Where is our honor for the Lord? Is this our view of serving the Lord? Is this our view of prayer? Is this our view of reading His word? Of singing His praises, of giving our time, talents, and efforts. Well, when we do, we're forgetting who God is and the kind of honor He deserves. And you know what we're forgetting? We're forgetting that just because He is the invisible God, that He doesn't know every smidgen of what's going through our mind and what we're thinking about Him and our work for Him. And not only the Lord, but we don't forget, we don't want to treat those on this earth that we honor in that way as well. Oh, what a weariness, you know, with my parents, you know. Oh, what a weariness when your boss at work. Oh, man, I got to deal with him again. What a weariness. And we can stop giving our best and start giving him our leftovers, whether it deserves it or not. You know, it's the position where we're supposed to be people who understand honor, and especially honoring our God. Verse 11 is interesting because he says, for from the rise, he's explaining why this isn't good enough. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. He's talking to the Jewish people and the priests. He says, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense will be offered in my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. And I think he's talking about that time. I listed some verses there for you to look up. I won't go through them. But I think he's talking about that kingdom when all the nations and Israel are literally burning incense and sacrificing to the Lord. And I don't know how that works. We don't sacrifice now, but there's going, all the nations will be doing it correctly. This is what he said. Even there's going to come a time when the Gentiles have this. They got this down. They're going to do it and so it's not acceptable because it can be done and it's going to be done. And so he says, you have no excuse. This is unacceptable. There are those, and hopefully we examine ourselves, and hopefully this is us as well, that we worship God without despising him, that we serve him without giving him our leftovers, without despising the what we're giving to the Lord. We don't want to be the ones who consider the respect and reverence of the Lord a weariness, the worship of the Lord a weariness. Let's just make sure it's not us. We want to be those who readily and joyfully and fully honor our God together, that we fully honor those who we should honor on Father's Day, our fathers, our parents, but as I said, especially our God and Savior. And we've been singing some good songs of praise, and this is a challenge to make sure we're thinking about what we're doing, that we mean it, that our actions back up the praises we're singing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word from you that you gave to Malachi, your prophet for Israel, and yet when we think on Father's Day of honor, honoring our fathers and especially of honoring you as the Almighty Father, it's hard not to be convicted by how lightly we can take you and treat you in the things we do. And Father, we don't want to do that. We pray that you would help us to see, are there areas in our lives where we're doing this? Because then we have to change. We have to fix it. And we're thankful that when it comes to entreating and asking for you to bless us, you've invited us that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that. We have that to where the doors are open. You forgive us our sins and we're ready to worship again. And so we thank you for that. Help us to consider our ways before you in this matter as you are challenging these priests. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.